Nashville SC lives to fight another day in the Audi MLS playoffs. Guys, what a wild result out of Nashville Soccer Club. Welcome into another episode of Speedway Soccer Live. Original crew, Ben will be in a bit. He's still doing the player interviews and the post-game presser. Lucas Panzeca joins us, host of our Eurovision episodes. Sloop, Andy Slape still here as well. Guys, 1-0 result. It was one of those ones, man, where it just seemed like, my God, we're not putting it in the net. This is going to come back to bite us. But the defense stands strong again, right? I mean, two really good chances they had, and other than that, they were pretty stymied. Would you guys agree with that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like they had more than two chances, because I can think of, one in particular in the first half, one or two in the second. And then those late ones in extra time. But, I mean, shit, there's not much else to say. Like that was a game that I feel like it has taken years off my life. But I wouldn't have it any other way.
Okay. So I think I need to drop in to say something to begin with, because I predicted a loss here. I have never been so happy to be wrong, first off. But secondly, it's not just that I was wrong. I mean, like, sometimes you're wrong and the game works out that you win, but you maybe shouldn't have, or it's close. We won. I mean, we won. We were the better team the entire night. I mean,
right.
I feel so happy to be wrong, because it wasn't just luck. It wasn't just an oddity. Nashville was the team out there that should have won, and we did. It was justice.
Do you believe in momentum now, Sloop?
No, I don't
believe in momentum. Do you believe in momentum now? I tried to tell you.
Momentum is just a matter of when you keep winning, you call it momentum. Then once you lose, you say you've
won. But if you win enough, you create momentum. That's what's happening right now with Nashville. Yes, that's what's happening right now.
We're going to drop that on their side.
Conversation. Your thoughts on the game?
If it's not momentum, it's certainly confidence. And this team is peaking at the perfect time. And Dax McCarthy. Dax McCarthy said to the guys on Fox right after that they just never really felt like they were not going to win the game. And that's easy to say after getting the win, but I firmly believe that, because even Davey, you mentioned just it's in the back of your mind, right? When the chances aren't being finished and you're clearly the better team, but it's getting to the late stages of that heartbreak. You feel like it's in the back of your mind, it's going to happen. But I didn't really get that vibe from this game. It just felt like this team was confident the whole way through. And they were the better team. They deservedly got the result. I mean, this team is playing its absolute best at the perfect time right now. I'm not sure there's a hotter team in Major League Soccer.
Mueller says, how many Carlsbergs did Slape throw down? I'm assuming quite a few. I don't know if it was Carlsbergs, actually, but I'm assuming a decent amount of beer.
I've had a few. I mean, drinking some zombie dust.
So. All right.
I want to follow up on what Lucas said.
Because
I mean, it was Dax the one who said this, but that guy deserves a lot of credit. I mean, I was glad when he was chosen for our team. He's been a captain. He exudes confidence out there the entire time. So I think he's great for what's going on right now. I'm a believer now. I mean, I thought we'd lose today, and I'm a complete believer that we could do anything at this point.
Yes, yeah, so Nashville in the house. What a win. Agreed completely. Let's kind of start breaking down what it looked like, right? Pretty early on, Cadiz goes in, waved offside, absolutely the right call. He's like 2 yards off, no questions asked. But I'll say this, and I think this is about the one that happened later on too. It was needlessly offside. Like, he would have been in space no matter what. He was just like not paying attention to where the line was, and that's what was a little bit frustrating. The other one was a little bit different because he's timing a run in, so you can almost understand how that takes place. First goal, he just stood there and was offsides well before the ball was played in. So that ball's played in. Goal, you're thinking, oh, my God, it's early. This is it. We're rolling in the right direction. This is going to go our way. And Sloop, kind of like you said, we're working through this game, and it was, you get that gut feeling of, oh, man, which way is this going to go? And like you said, I mean, momentum is some sort of psychological thing, but there was about a 25-minute stretch there towards the end of the second or the first half where it was clearly swinging in Toronto's favor. They were on the better foot. Willis made that nice save down to his right from in tight, which honestly I think they should have done better with. We get through to the half, and look, I don't think it's unfair to say everything from then forward, other than a little flurry here and there, was Nashville SC's way, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Until that flurry at the very end of stoppage time, I thought we were dominant.
Yeah. I want to say one thing before we kind of dive in more into the game. I think it is no surprise that, you know, we're doing this while Union New England is taking place, but I don't think it's that much of a surprise that the teams that played the play-in games are the teams right now that one of them has won and the other one looks like they're going to go on to win. I know Andy was talking about momentum and confidence, but I think that 2-week break and just being in a rhythm within the game, within, you know, playing a couple days, these guys have gone from playing every 2 to 3 days to now they had a 2-week break. And I think the team that's in that rhythm is going to be the team that does well in these playoffs.
I want to bring up a few stats real fast. Obviously, 1-0, the biggest stat, really the only stat that matters, unless you're a nerd like Ben. But let's go through the other ones anyways. XG, 3.07 to Nashville, 1.56 to Toronto. 12 shots, 4 on goal for Toronto. 21 shots, 6 on target for Nashville. And, I mean, look, that tells the story of it. I tweeted out, Ben shared that little shot from Opta. I tweeted out, it's going to get lost in the fray because there was some really, really poor finishing. And we shouldn't overlook that. We absolutely have to talk about that. But listen to me. Nashville went on the road and absolutely took it to a MLS heavyweight club. They took it to a team that is the real deal. Have they struggled of late? Sure. Have they been on the road for too long? Sure. There's a lot of things you can do, and we'll talk about people are going to want to move the goalposts soon. They went on the road, and they got an absolutely unbelievably good result. Lucas, go ahead.
I'd be fascinated to go back and see in the games in which Nashville was the most dominant in this regular season, that shot differential there. What did you say it was? 21 to what?
21 with 6 on target for Nashville. 12-4 for Columbus. So 21.
Okay. So 21-12, which is total shots. I would venture to say that that has to be the biggest differential Nashville has seen, or at least
I would imagine so
this season. I mean,
I would think it's their highest shot total of the year.
Yeah, it certainly felt that way, and it didn't feel close. So for them to save that, it feels weird because we're sitting here saying this is one of the best offensive performances of the season for Nashville, yet they only were able to muster one goal and a lot of frustration with the goals called back. But certainly that has to be the highest shot total. We'd have to go back and look.
Well, real quick, and I'll bounce it to Slate, but I'll say this. Yeah, 21 shots with 6-1 goal. That's great. But, I mean, okay, Hani twice, Randall not getting his volley on, Moyle not getting his header on, like, probably 4 or 5 of our best chances didn't go on frame. It was just it was dominant performance. The goals just didn't go the way you would think they would have gone with the way this team's been finishing of the last month.
Agreed. I mean, I think that Nashville clearly had the better of the chances and, you know, probably should have. I know that we were all saying during the game, like, how are we not finishing these goals? But I mean, finally got the one that counted. I mean, I think one of the big talking points is, and I think it's easier to talk about a bit now, is the decision to not give Jonathan Osorio a red card after kicking out at Daniel Lovitz. I just do not understand how the referee never went to a monitor, and even had a look at that. Like, it is just, it baffles me that, we have VAR, and I know that I'm probably the chief hater of VAR on this podcast. But if it is there, why are you not using it? So like we saw Ruan get a red card for the exact same thing on Saturday. So like it's not a like, oh, did he not? Like we've seen a clear instance of this exact thing happening. And luckily for tonight for Nashville that, you know, they walk away and that isn't the talking point, that isn't a story because they went and got the goal. But that could have been a situation like we saw with Escobar in the regular season where a guy makes a horrendous challenge, he doesn't get a card, and then the MLS disciplinary committee comes back, you know, a couple days later and suspends him for the next game.
I'm with Jeffers on this. Clear kick out for me. And what I kind of said during it's twice in a week, basically, we've had nearly identical scenarios where you mentioned Juan's kick out. He gets the boot, red card. And then there's the one with the goalie off his line in the in the shootout, it resulted in a red card for him because he already had one yellow. But the second time, it doesn't marry in anything. They don't even blow it. So there's just no consistency from pro referees, and it's a joke, honestly. It's a total joke. Ben, tell me if this sounds right to you. I'm on Football Reference, and I have tonight we had an XG of 3.07. The highest I see throughout the rest of the season was 1.8 in a 3-1 loss to Orlando. Does that sound right to you?
Off the top of my head, it might have been higher in either the Houston win or the 4-2
win over
the 4-2 win over Atlanta. But I mean, even in those games, I don't think it was significantly over 2.
So this has Houston's listed at 1.5 and then the Atlanta win at 1.8. And so I don't know if they're just saying goals that, you know, we scored goals that we necessarily were not expected in that game or whatever. Again, that's just the one site I could find the aggregate with all of it. I don't want to get lost in the weeds there. Either way, one of the better performances offensively for Nashville, despite the lack of scoring. Let's kind of get into that lack of scoring. Ben, we've touched on it a little bit. Your thoughts on Cadiz just being offside there? I mean, is this just a cohesiveness thing with the team? What's going on there?
I don't know what it is. I mean, maybe it's cohesiveness with the team, but I mean, he's not depending on the team for really anything else. It's just about positioning and looking across the line and making sure he's not closer to goal than any of the defenders. I mean, I don't want to sound too harsh, and obviously Nashville came away with a win, but I mean, it's pretty basic stuff. The free kick goal, especially if that's a design set piece play and he knows that McCarty is flicking the header back across goal. I mean, you just have to time your runs. I don't know what was going on with him. It just didn't look like he was 100% and completely on the same, not necessarily on the same page with everybody else, but just able to, I don't know. He just felt a little bit out of it.
His field awareness is a little off, I think, on that. And as someone up top, you've got to be aware of when the defense is trying to pull you off.
And I think what's frustrating about it is neither of the goals, like he didn't need to be offside on either one of the goals. He could have made up the yard or two of space and stayed onside. He'd still be wide open on the first header. He'd still be wide open on the free kick. It was just frustrating.
On the first one, I didn't think he had any chance unless he was offside. When I rewatched that, I thought there was no chance at all. The second one, I agree with you on, but I didn't think he had any chance. Let me just say one thing again before we move on. The thing I took really, I think was really good was when he left the field, he seemed frustrated, like he knew he could do better.
Of course,
I like that. I like a player looking like that.
Yeah, I agree completely. And he was similar when he came off the field against Miami the other day when he had the opportunity to get his fourth. He was pissed that he didn't get it. So, yeah, I like it as well. And I think he did a decent number of things really good. I think he held the ball up well. Obviously, the finishing was good. He was just offside. So the finishing doesn't really mean nothing if you're in a position where you cannot score from. Let's kind of go through it. I know some of us had a shared opinion on this, but the goal scorer might have changed that. Who do we all have as man of the match? Lucas, I'll start with you because I haven't heard your thought yet.
Yeah, I think it's Hani Mukhtar. And as for the little bit that I watched at the end there when they gave it to Rios, just because he's the one who put the ball in the back of the net, at least on the Fox broadcast, I thought they were going to give it to Mukhtar because the way he was able to get out of that space between three defenders and get a shot on target that, who knows, might have been going in if Rios wasn't there to finish it off. I'm glad he was. Mueller's got a good point saying it's got to be Joe. That's an excellent argument as well. So if it's not Hani Mukhtar, simply because he created that final goal with his movement and to get out of a tight situation and get that shot on target. But look, yeah, Joe Willis, I've been singing his praises all season long. I would argue that he has been the best surprise of this team this season. And you could argue that it could be Alistair Johnston. It could be the signing of Alex Moyle. But Joe Willis has been, because he wasn't a guy we were talking about a lot this season that, okay, we feel good about Joe. It was kind of an above average, like, yeah, he's good enough. We'll see how it goes. But he has been such an asset to this team, a team that really depends on 1-0 grind it out type of victories. So either Mukhtar or Willis, I think you can make a great argument for either.
I'm going to say as a card-carrying member of the fullbacks union, I'm going to have to give it to Alistair Johnston. I thought Johnston was absolutely fantastic. He put in some of the best balls that I've seen from from a fullback this MLS season and that just unfortunately guys weren't able to get on the end of.
He probably should have had two or three assists, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, those low-whipped crosses, and I say this with all the respect, were Robinson and Alexander-Arnold-esque in his placement and delivery. And I was just really impressed with, you know, what he was able to do both sides of the ball, being able to keep, Richie Lurea from getting up the field and keeping those wingers pretty quiet tonight.
I'm with Slape on that. I thought Johnston was fantastic. I thought he was man of the match for me. It's unfortunate because, like you guys said, you know, he could have had easily two assists on his crosses, which were just sublime. Like, they were really, really, really great. Just the service he put into the box for those. He was great moving back as well, too, on the defensive side. Not everyone's going to really pay attention to Johnston just because all the attention is going to go to Rios. Attention is going to go to Mukhtar. Attention is going to go to Willis as well, too. But I think that an unsung hero was Johnston to keep the momentum of the offense going. And a lot of those chances that were created by Nashville were because of the crosses that he put in.
I'll say this too about Johnson. He played the whole game on a yellow card. So pretty impressive defensive performance too against some pretty talented guys out wide there. Ben, anybody different you had for man of the match?
No, I mean, I probably would have said Johnston maybe like at the 80th minute, but I think just Mukhtar kind of took the game over in extra time. I mean, even the goal that he scored that was disallowed, which I really want to see that again. I think that was close.
A fully wide angle of that because it's tough with what we saw to say he was off.
I mean,
well, the angle they gave us was terrible.
Garbage.
It was just awful. Yeah.
But, I mean, we've seen Mukhtar come back from injury. I mean, he was obviously fantastic in that Houston game. Got hurt for basically a month, and we all said that him coming back and getting in form was going to be like key to anything that Nashville did in the postseason.
Yeah.
And he's playing maybe his best soccer of the year.
Absolutely.
He was the best player on the field against Miami, and I would say for long stretches of the game he was the best player on the field in this one again tonight. And obviously he didn't get the goal. He set the goal up. I mean, it might have been going in even without a Rios touch. I mean, I think it's just hard to overstate how important he was for this team.
I think it was the best game in a Nashville shirt. I'd say the same thing about Alistair Johnston. I got no beef with those guys. And Joe Willis just did everything he's done all season. So
I have a question and a response.
Go ahead, Slate.
I think it was great that we've criticized Mukhtar at times this season with his ability not to go 90 minutes. And tonight he went for 120 minutes.
And got stronger as he went.
And got stronger as he went.
Yep.
So my question is after seeing him, we saw him come off the injury report, but then not play for, I think, about 2 to 3 games.
Right.
Are those games that he didn't play worth it now because of where he is?
Undoubtedly, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's kind of like, not to give the comparison to LeBron, but it's game management a little bit,
right?
Yeah, so I think that resting him a little bit was the smart move by Smith, so that way he's at full strength for the playoff run that Nashville's have been.
That's a question. We touched on it in the pregame. Pozuelo, likely MVP candidate, right? Really, really good player. And I kind of asked this in the chat during the match. You guys think it was more him just having an off match, not really playing up to his level, or more Nashville SC putting him in the pocket, disrupting what he likes to do?
I mean, I think Nashville, especially Romney and Zimmerman, just completely shut things down. I mean, I know Willis has got some shouts for man of the match, and I think those are deserved to an extent. But at the same time, he faced, what, 4 shots on target?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is largely down to Romney and Zimmerman. Romney especially, I mean, he was winning every ball that came into the box, cutting out chances before they even became dangerous. Zimmerman had a couple moments where he jumped in to intercept a pass at the very last second. I mean, it wasn't necessarily flashy or headline grabbing from either of those two, but I thought they were fantastic, and I think they really did a good job at stopping dangerous counterattacks or chances for Toronto before they really actually became dangerous.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it was more what Nashville was able to do and disrupting Pozuelo than it was just him having an off night.
And individually, nobody held Nashville down tonight. Nobody had a bad game. We just mentioned 3 guys that you could very easily give man of the match to.
Let me tack that on to that, Lucas, and I'll let you finish. But let's put Anunga at the top of that list. If he comes in, subs in for Godoy, everybody's talking about, are we going to drop off, blah, 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 blah. I don't think the guy put a wrong foot out nearly the whole match.
Nope. Yeah, we talked about it in the podcast earlier in the week, Ben and Slape and I did, about do we trust Brian Anunga in that spot? And we said, yeah, I mean, there's no evidence not to right now. And he was excellent in tight spaces. That to me, that seems like his biggest strength, to get out of tight spaces and put Nashville in a good spot. And so, like I said, nobody held Nashville back. You could argue the finishing certainly needed to be better. The positional awareness from Cadiz certainly needed to be better. There were aspects that needed to be better. You got to bury a team when you're dominating like that. But if Nashville puts out that kind of performance throughout these playoffs, they're going to be an incredibly hard team to beat.
$50,000, and he was playing USL soccer last year.
It's unbelievable. And I mean, and Jeff, we've talked about that, why teams need to take more chances on guys like Brian Anunga, and this is just the proof in the pudding, right? Like, these guys have something to offer. Go ahead, Ben.
I mean, I was just going to say, we've talked before about just McCarty and Godoy both kind of being on the wrong side of 30 and what Nashville is going to look to do with that position long term. They may have found, like, the answer already. I mean, Anunga's 24 years old. He's showing that he's able to play at a high level. I mean, he was one of the better players on the field for Nashville in arguably their best performance of the season. And I think, I mean, they'll bring in other pieces, but he is going to be in the mix for potentially years to come. And I think
absolutely
he may not be the signing of the season this year, but I think a couple of years down the road, he could turn out to be one of the best pieces of business Nashville has done.
Jeffers has a question. I'll touch on it in just a second. I want to ask Ben, any word in the post-game presser? I know you were on it. Any hints about Godoy's availability coming up on the weekend?
Nothing specific. Smith said they'd have to check and see how some of the players were doing. I assume Godoy would be included in that. Okay. But yeah,
we'll get more on that later. A couple
more days rest before the next one. So hopefully he'll have some time.
So Jeffers asks, what matchup is going to be key in the next round? And I'll kind of defer to Ben and Slape here like I normally do. But my assumption just off the top, being kind of the superficial, you know, viewer that I am, is that it's going to be Zardes versus Zimmerman and Romney, right?
I would argue that, I mean, while that is an important matchup, I think the key matchup is going to come down to, you know, what we talked about with Godoy being available and the battle in the midfield. Darlington Nagby and Lucas Zelarayan have been quick,
just went final 2-0 win New England Revolution over Philadelphia Union. Wow. So the chance of a home game for the conference final stays alive for Nashville SC.
The 1 and 2 seeds go down.
Yeah, I mean, so just kind of going back, I mean, I think the matchups is going to be in the midfield with Nagby and Artur up against McCarty and either Godoy or Anunga. I mean, and with tonight, I don't have any worries about Anunga in that, but it definitely is a harder battle.
I'd tack on to that. I think Pedro Santos for Columbus Crew is another really, really good player. And I think he could, I mean, I think Nashville did a really good job against De Leon and Piotti, but I think he could pose some similar problems.
Guys, any final thoughts before we zip this one up? We're kind of closing in on it here. I mean, I don't know, man. If you're a Nashville SC fan, I can't say many more nights that have been more fun than this. Of course, Ben Schaub.
I just want to jump in on the level of what this means for the team. And I think that we were talking before we got on the air. Several of us had received notes from, like, Ben received a note from his mother. I received notes from all sorts of friends.
Shout out, Mom, if you're watching. Soccer fans.
I mean, this is the sort of stuff that forges a fanship in a community. I think this is a very important win for that. It's a very important win for the next season. I wish we could be in the stadium, but I think this is building things.
I mean, we got folks in Ghana watching it. Shout out to those guys.
And I'll say this. The only other time that I think I've seen kind of this same strength of a reaction wasn't a match. It was the night that the stadium was approved, right? Yeah, and so how funny is that? Like, such a big political thing is kind of the only feeling that I've seen that people feel the same way about in a game. And let's hope it just keeps rolling, man. Look, I said in the chat the other day, I felt weirdly confident about this game, that I would maybe feel different about against Philadelphia or the Crew. We'll see. I don't know. I think this team has a weird thing going. They're in the right mood. They're up for it. They look sharp. The best players are playing well. It's going to be fun to see here in the next few days.
Sunday.
We don't have a time yet, right, Ben?
No, we don't have time.
I don't believe so.
Okay, so Sunday, the game, it will be against the Crew. But one last question. Only time I worry about Anunga is when his GPS breaks and he ends up in the attacking third. That's not a bad shout. I'm not going to lie.
Mac heels only.
Listen, guys, we love you. We're glad you're here. We appreciate you. And go ahead, Ben.
Well, actually, Lucas, I think you had one first. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just have to throw out, at what point do we need to start talking about this as, I don't even want to say it, the best expansion season?
I said it earlier, Lucas.
There it is. Luke doesn't want to admit it.
Wait, now that this game is over, let's circle back to that.
We'll circle back to it this week.
I felt weird talking about it before the Toronto game. It felt a little bit premature. Okay, I feel like
I'll prop it like I did last time. Okay. I'll prep it like I did last time. So I said Chicago Fire 98 aside, because they won the cup. That's the best. So unless Nashville goes and wins the cup, we're not on that level. But I said, how do we compare against Atlanta United or LAFC's expansion seasons? Sloop said tonight's win wasn't enough to get us in the conversation with them.
I was wrong.
Okay.
That's what I wanted to say. I think I have the right to say this now.
Okay,
I
good.
Was wrong. Yeah. This was a big win. We beat Toronto. We beat a way upper seed. Not at their home, but this is still a very big win. I leave this thinking, because I'm getting texts from people saying, my God, Orlando fans that I know were writing me.
Right.
We're doing something. I mean, the best expansion team ever. I don't know that we're that. We're in the conversation. We are in the conversation. One more win, I take us there. I mean, besides Chicago, I take us there completely.
I like it. I think that's reasonable. I don't know that tonight was enough to get us past Atlanta or past LA, because they were so good in the regular season.
Oh, yeah.
Sloop said, if it wasn't for the play-in game, we're just sitting on one playoff win. I think you go out there, knock down the Crew, get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think you nudge ahead of those two teams, just in my personal opinion.
I think that's fair. I think Nashville has to. They're at the point though. They have to be included in any legitimate discussion.
Someone just has because given us the time of the game on the
it's confirmed for 7 Central,
8 Eastern Sunday, and I don't think we know Fox versus ESPN on that, but Sunday on one of those two channels, it will not be on my TV 30.
But yeah, I just think we talk about. I'm thinking of the Seattle Sounders as an example. They're talked about as one of the best teams in MLS, and they've been a team that's not always been great in the regular season, but towards the back third of the season, they get hot and go on a run and usually do well in the playoffs. And I think we're seeing, I mean, it's not to the same extent that they've done it, but we're seeing something similar for Nashville, where they get hot at the right time, go on a run. And I mean, ultimately, you said this, Davey, that's what MLS is built on. That's how you decide which team is the best, not over the course of the regular season, but the playoffs. And Nashville is proving that they can be an effective team in the playoffs. More so than other expansion teams.
We've said that about Gary Smith teams for 3 years. The way he sets his teams up, he's going to give them puncher's chance in knockout games. We always liked them in the Open Cup since that very first big one against Colorado Rapids, right? He sets them up with the opportunity to succeed. And what we're seeing now is that he's got the quality of player to be more than just the team that's going to be defensive and score some weird fluky one. We went to a side away, and it's been better than us for the majority of the season, and took them apart. Took them apart. It could have been 4-5-0. Took them apart. And so, it's a good side. Columbus is a good side as well. I'm not ready to say I think we're going to win that game yet or anything like that. But we're absolutely in the conversation with, in my opinion, more than a puncher's chance.
Yeah.
I just want to say one of the things, Davey, you've said all season when you've been watching us is, we look like every time early on, it just looked like we deserved to be there. We didn't. We never looked like we were out of place. Now we look like we deserve to win most of these games.
Right.
So we're really coming together that way.
Yeah. The last thing I'll say, and then we'll head out real quick. So luckily people watch this and tell us the information and are much more informed than we are. 7 o'clock Central on Sunday on ESPN. Okay. So on the Big Boy Channel, ESPN regular Sunday night up against Sunday Night Football. That'll happen. I was going to touch on something else. Oh, sorry. That's what it was. 3-2 win away on decision day at Orlando should have been the signifier to the rest of the league that this team is dead serious, that it's more than just a team who's going to score on weird goals. That's a hard place to go win. It's as big as a test as you can get this year in this league. We passed it. We keep passing tests. I'm excited for the game on the weekend. We'll have a few things out coming out this week for you. Broadway Sports Media. We're going to have write-ups on the game. Sloop's got a great interest piece coming out tomorrow. Ben's going to have the recap of the game. And we'll have
already up
all weekend long. Wednesday at 11 o'clock on 104.5 The Zone, Nashville Soccer Show airs. The podcast will be out earlier in the day. Me and Will are recording tomorrow morning. Going to be a big show. We're going to recap the game. We're going to look forward to Columbus. Talk a little bit of Champions League, a little bit of Premier League on the weekend, so all the normal stuff. And then we'll have another episode of Speedway Soccer out in advance of the game. Guys, have we decided if we're going to have just a regular episode or it'll just be a pregame thing again? Or let's decide it right now.
I say let's do pregame.
Yeah, we'll do pregame again on Sunday. Sounds good to me. So that's perfect. So we'll do probably 6:30 live Sunday. We'll talk about the crew game ahead of it again. Look, guys, it's a blast. This team is fun to watch. And, you know, look, quit moving the goalposts, okay? They're good. They're good, full stop. It's a good soccer team. So just get ready for whatever that brings with it. People are going to hate the team. They're going to get sick of seeing us win. They're going to doubt you when you lose, whatever. All that comes with it. That just means you're better than they are. We're talking to you, Cincinnati. We're talking to you. Stay with it for Nashville Soccer Show, for Speedway Soccer Pod. I'm Davey. That's Sloop, Lucas, Ben, Slape, and Andy. We love you guys. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great night.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah.